This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscoane. South Philly native and rock and roll guitarist and singer Charlie Gracie's first hit song, Butterfly, was released in 1957. Now, more than 50 years later, he has another hit song, Baby Doll. Let's listen.
I saw you at a party. Girl, you look so hot. Need your sweet affection. Come on, show me what you got. Be my baby. Be my baby doll. My baby doll. Be my baby. Be my baby doll. My baby doll. Your attention, I thought it meant a lot. I got up the nerve to ask for your number because I knew I had a shot. Be my baby, be my baby doll, my baby doll. Be my baby, be my baby doll, my baby doll. When you
That's our guest, Charlie Gracie, and his new hit song, Baby Doll. Gracie's latest CD, For the Love of Charlie, was produced by Al Kooper and features some well-known musicians. And as you can tell from the name of that CD, Charlie Gracie has a lot of fans among his fellow musicians, including Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Van Morrison, among many others. Radio Times producer Patty McMahon saw Charlie Gracie perform recently and said, we've got to get him on Radio Times, which is exactly what we did. And Charlie Gracie, nice to have you with us.
Good morning.
On Radio Times.
It's wonderful to be with you.
It's wonderful to have you here. And I have to say, your voice sounds fantastic.
Well, thank you. You know, it's an old expression, use it or lose it.
Yeah.
That goes for vocalists too, you know.
But some people, some singers over time do lose that voice,
well,
but you don't seem to have
I've been very
that.
Fortunate, and I have just a little bit of arthritis in my thumbs at this point in my life, which is not too bad, but my fingers still move pretty good, and I still got a big mouth, so I'm okay.
And this recording was actually, you recorded this in your house.
Yes, I told you off the air, and I'll say it again. I had this new album coming out, For the Love of Charlie, on APCO, which could be purchased on Amazon.com, by the way.
Little plug there.
Yeah, and this chap, who I worked with years ago with my old friend Chubby Checker, you know, he said, Charlie, I got a song for you. His name is Gary Lethwith. I said, Gary, I said, I got a new album coming out. I can't go cutting. So just listen to it. I listened to it. I loved it. He said, now I'm coming over tomorrow, and we're going to cut it in your house. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, I'm used to recording in studios. So he came with a little black box. He plugged the guitar in. He said, sing it. I learned it overnight. It was very simple. I'll be talking to you. He came back 2 weeks later with this finished product, which knocked me out. And evidently, the public seems to love it. So I'm just tickled to death.
That's great. And we heard Richie Scarlett playing lead guitar.
Oh, excellent. Great guy and a great guitarist. He formerly was Kiss and a few other unknown bands.
Exactly. Well, now we can hear the Philadelphia accent that you have. You grew up in South Philly.
South Philadelphia, yes.
And you were born almost 76 years ago.
Well, come May 14th, if it pleases God, I'll be 76 years old. Wow. I just can't believe how time, I mean, I close my eyes, I still see myself and my mother go, wake up, Charlie, it's time to go to school.
And you went to Southwark Elementary School?
Yes.
South Mifflin, Philly High School?
And at Furnace Junior High, Third and Mifflin, and then finally Southern High for boys.
Oh,
the
for boys only.
We were separate in those days. That's why we learned. Once they put them together, the whole thing fell apart.
Now, what kind of music did you grow up listening to?
Well, growing up in the late 30s and throughout the 40s, I used to listen to the big bands, of course. They were on the radio, right? On the radio. We had no television when I was a kid. Now, I used to listen to them. My dad was into that. He liked the big bands, you know, Harry James, Tommy Dorsey, and so forth. My mother was a country freak. She used to put the radio on when he got done listening to his stuff. Hank Williams, Hank Snow, Ernest Tubb, you know. And between the two of them, I was going like insane mentally, musically speaking. Then as a young boy growing up, we listened to a lot of black music. They used to call them race records in those days for whatever reason. I still can't figure it out. So between the three, at this point in my life, you know, my head is bursting. And I began playing the guitar when I was 10 years old through not even my choice.
In fact, it was your dad, right?
Yeah. Well, my dad was a hat maker. He worked for a very famous John B. Stetson. Yeah. Of course, nobody wears hats anymore, but they used to employ 10,000 employees at one time, three shifts, never stopping. And it was a tough job. He took me there one day. It was steaming hot water. It was horrible. You know? Mm. So he decided to buy a suit one day. He saved up $15 in 1946. They were making $35 a week in those days. And we took a walk down the South Street, which was a mill area in those days, haberdashers, shoe shops, pawn shops. And I was the firstborn of three sons. And every time we'd pass a pawn shop, he'd hesitate. He'd hesitate. Finally, he stopped. He says, Charlie, he said, the heck with the suit. He says, pick an instrument out. I don't want you to work like a Duncan I have all my life. I said, okay, Dad. I'm 10 years old. What do I know, right? I said, how about a nice trumpet like Harry James? Nah, he says, you'll blow your brains out. Get a guitar. What choice did I, the choice I had, right? So he bought me this guitar. It looked like it was $15. Looked like a bow and arrow. It was a harmony, a bend in the middle, you know.
Well, it was a pawn shop, so.
Yeah, what the heck? You know, I played in the
down.
First position. You know.
Right, exactly.
And he told me he loved music, my father. He tap danced, played harmonica a little bit. He wanted to be in show business, but his parents were immigrants, and you go to work. You know, in those days, everybody had to chip in. So once again, get back to the story. He taught me a couple of little chords, you know. Then a friend of his was like a semi-pro. He taught me, he says, you know what? If you're going to be a musician, learn the right way, get a teacher. My teacher's name was Anthony Panto, who was related to the great Joe Venuti, the great jazz violinist who played for Crosby and Eddie Lang, you know. Great man, wonderful guy. And he taught me for 3, 4, 5 years, came to my house every day, you know, once a week. $3 a lesson. Sometimes we're a dollar short.
You didn't have a lot of money.
So
right?
My mother made me a nice pepper and egg sandwich. And he was a wonderful man. And then finally I got to the point where he says, Charlie, I taught you everything I know. He says, you play better than me. You're on your own.
Wow.
And I used to do serenades and weddings, anything to make $4 or $5, $10 to help the family out. We're poor people like everybody was in those days.
Sure.
And finally I got on the show. I got on the Horn and Hardy Children's Hour. Everybody did that. Which didn't do much for me. And finally, I got on a show called The Paul Whiteman Show.
Oh, sure. Famous name.
Yeah, for those folks that don't remember, he was an extremely famous orchestra leader of the 30s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. Big, rotund man, played a violin.
Yeah.
And he had this show on ABC affiliate in Philadelphia, and it was simulcast television and radio. And I won 5 times running, and I won the family's first refrigerator. We had an ice box before that. The whole street came out.
And how old were you at the time?
I was about...
Teenager?
I was 15 bucks. Right. I mean, 15 years old. Right. You know, the $15. You know? And to cut a long story short, the whole street came out. You might think it was Frank Sinatra or something. Hey, Charlie, get the phone. You know, it had a little two ice cube trays in it. But we had an ice box before that, you know. Yeah. So while on this show, this gentleman is driving in from New York who owned a record company called Cadillac Records.
Oh,
right on Broadway. And he heard me, and the next day we got a telegram, because we didn't have a phone, and there was no texting, and there was no... And he said, I'd like to offer a recording contract. And I said, wonderful. We went into New York. I cut my first record just before I was about to enter high school, 1952. And I recorded from 52 to 56 with 2 different labels with no big success.
Right.
But I'm building a fan base, and I'm playing, I'm working nightclubs, making $50 a night, $75
helping to support the family.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Guess.
And right. In my day, you came home with the envelope closed. Say, hey, Ma.
Right.
And she'd take a few bucks out and give you spending money. That's how it worked. You know, especially an Italian American family.
Right, right.
Sicilian American, I might add, which is even tougher.
Just to add to the to the drama.
Yeah, bit of bing, bit of bang, you know. I'm building it, and I finally did Bandstand. The original host was Bob Horn, who was a jockey on FIL for years, very well respected and known. And I did the show many a time. Then finally he got in a little trouble. And, of course, Dick Clark, who was sitting in a little studio right by there, I never forget, he was advertising a diamond company, making $100 a week. Good-looking guy, great voice, all-American boy. Fell right into that slot. Of course, the rest is history for him.
Well, and I do want to play, actually, your first hit song. This was recorded back in 1956, and it was on the charts, the top of the charts, I guess, in 1957, a song called Butterfly.
Number one,
yeah. Absolutely. Let's listen.
All right.
Ah, you tell me you love me, you say you're true. Then you fly around with somebody new. But I'm crazy about you, you butterfly. You're treating me mean, you're making me cry. I made up my mind to tell you goodbye, but I'm no good without you, you butterfly. I knew from the first time I kissed you that you were the trouble to guide. Cause the honey that drips through your sweet lips, one taste and I'm out of my mind. I love you so much, I know what I'll do. I'm flipping your wings, you're flying as blue. Cause I'm crazy about you, you butterfly.
And that's our guest, Charlie Gracie. His first hit song called Butterfly, written by Cal Mann and Bernie Lowe.
Yes.
And I love what you do with your voice in that song. And I'm old enough to remember how people, especially men, sounded back then singing those songs.
Well, you must remember when I cut that December of 56, just a couple of weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
And by March of 1957, we had not only a hit, but a number one hit. It was a miracle in my life. Knocked Elvis out of the box for 2 weeks. He went to Las Vegas. I went to Wildwood, New Jersey.
In fact, you knocked All Shook Up out of the box, right? Yeah,
could you believe that? I still don't believe it. Don't forget, I mean, he was a phenomenon.
Right.
You know, as a matter of fact, when this guy wanted to start this Cameo Records, this Mr. Lowe,
yes,
he was looking for a tall, sexy, Elvis-looking guy. Well, evidently, he couldn't find him, so he wound up with me. And we were lucky. We had two or three hits right off the top.
Yep. You know?
And then, of course, these records went off to become famous throughout the world. Europe and Asia and so forth.
We have about a minute before our first break here, but I read that you bought the guitars that you play now, mm-hmm, back in 1957, a Guild X350.
Yes, I have two of them.
And do you still play the guitars that you bought in 1957?
That's the only two guitars I own, except the first Gibson that I bought on at Wurlitzer's for $375. It took me 2 years to pay it off.
Now, why do you like this guitar so much, these guitars?
You know, an instrument, if I can put it this way, it's like a marriage. You know, you get used to the woman you love. And
you don't play around then?
No. Well, that's why I'm still married after 54 years, my wife Joan and I. You know, after work, a lot of guys, come on, Chaz, we're going out. I said, I'm going home. What are you going home? I said, I'm going home to my wife and kids. I mean, no, I'm not a prude. We'd go out, you know. I never drank, so we'd have breakfast maybe at the Melrose Diner or something like
sure.
that. And then I'd go home. And sometimes I'd take some of the food home. My wife and I would eat it in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
So these are the guitars that you have kept pretty much your entire career.
Yes, and you know what? I know guys that have been given instruments, hundreds of instruments. You know, I never even got a guitar pick from anybody in my career. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
No free guitar, no free strings, no free picks.
It's all you, Charlie Gracie.
What did I do wrong?
Well, we'll pick up on that after this very short break. Charlie Gracie, our guest today on Radio Times, Rockabilly Hall of Famer, and he started his career here in Philadelphia, and he's been on the stage for, just about 60, 70 years. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back.
The school in Rose Valley, a preschool through elementary progressive independent school, supports WHYY. Located on 8 acres near Media, PA, SRV's education model helps to prepare students for future academic success, environmental stewardship, and active citizenship. A family open house is this Saturday, April 14th, from 10 to noon. Details at SRV's Facebook page or theschoolinrosevalley.org. That's theschoolinrosevalley.org.
Do you think that kiwi fruit are too exotic to grow in your non-tropical landscape? I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next You Bet Your Garden, we'll explain how just about anybody can cultivate their own kiwi. Plus answers to all your growing questions. That's You Bet Your Garden, Saturday morning at 11, right here on WHYY-FM.
Delaware Theater Company supports WHYY and presents Regina Taylor's gospel musical, Crowns, now through April 29th. Based on the book by Michael Cunningham and Craig Marbury, Crowns is the story of a young woman who moves down south to live with her grandmother and is given a lesson on hattitude. This toe-tapping musical shows there are hats for every occasion and a cultural and historical significance to them as well. For tickets, 302-594-1100 or DelawareTheater.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscone talking with Charlie Gracie, a South Philly native. His first big hit, which we just heard, was A Butterfly, recorded more than 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. He performed on Dick Clark's American Bandstand, The Ed Sullivan Show. He's had a busy touring schedule. In fact, at the age of 75, almost 76, he continues to tour. Abco Records recently released For the Love of Charlie, and he's got a new hit single called Baby Doll. And I do want to play the demo of Butterfly. We just heard that, but this is the demo of Butterfly going back to 1956, and let's listen.
You tell me you love me, you say you'll be true, then I'll see you later with somebody new, but I'm crazy about you, you butterfly. I get to believing you're on my mind. See you clinging to some other vine, but I'm no good without you, you butterfly. I know from the first time I kissed you that you were the trouble in kind. The honey drips from your sweet lips. One taste and I'm out of my mind. But one of these days, when you're flirting is through, I'll be around with all my loving for you. Cause I'm crazy about you, you butterfly.
I like that. Different lyrics there, Charlie Gracie.
Yes, it's completely different if you notice.
I did notice that.
I think the newer lyrics were, you know, more apropos to the song.
So was this, we went into Cameo Records and performed this?
Well, here's what I did. There was a studio at 12th and Market called RecoArt, and the engineer was Emil Corson. I always like to give credit because he was a great engineer. And we went in there like a few days before I recorded it to see what kind of tones I would get from my voice and the guitar. It's just me and the guitar there.
Yeah.
And then I took it home and I rewrote some of the lyrics along with Cal Mann. And that we had the finished product finally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, the guy that plays the piano solo on Butterfly was the other owner of the company, who owned the company, Bernie Lowe.
Interesting. And I should say that what we just listened to was from the Best of Charlie Gracie, a CD that came out in 2006. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to play Fabulous, and this was another hit song for you, going back just a little bit after Butterfly. Mm-hmm. How did you get to record Fabulous?
Well, you know, when you have a hit record, everybody's writing songs for everybody wants to get on the bandwagon, you know. And, of course, Cal Mann did most of the writing for the company. Mm-hmm. He was an ex-school teacher. He had a knack of putting words together and melodies together. He was a musical genius as far as that goes, you know. And he had no musical training.
Well.
Yeah. And he came with me with this song, and I said to him, see, it sounds kind of Elvish-ish, you know. I never wanted to copy anybody. I wanted to be my own person. He said, well, you do it because the guy's hot. He said, don't sing like Elvis, but it's that type of song. Mm. I said, okay, fine. So we went into the studio, and I cut it. And then we heard about a week later after it was released that Elvis was going to cover it.
Oh,
I
dear.
Says, my God, we're dead. I mean, he was, at that point, he was the hottest thing in the world. So I understand the deal was made between Mr. Lowe and Elvis's manager, Colonel Parker, that they would give him half of the publishing rights not to record it. So when you look on that record, it says Madelyn Presley Music. So they got half of the publishing rights. So he made money off of me too, Elvis.
Oh,
that son of a gun.
Any bitterness there for you, Charlie?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I Elvis was Elvis. Nobody could dethrone the king. Unfortunately, he's not here anymore, but, you know, what can I tell you?
But here you are, right?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in Poison.
In Poison.
In Poison.
Exactly. Well, let me hear. Let's listen to Fabulous, and again, recorded in 1957, and Charlie Gracie, our guest, performing on the Cameo Parkway release.
Well, I always knew I was crazy for you. How'd I know? You thrill me so. If this is love, well, it's fabulous. Your lips close to mine, it chills up my spine. And when they touch, I
thrill so much. If this is love, it's fabulous. I read in a book about love and its charms, but I never knew till I held you in my arms. When I held you tight, well, I know I'm right. 'Cause only you can do what you do. If this is love, it's fabulous.
I'm having flashbacks to my youth, Charlie Gracie. I love this. That's a song called Fabulous, and that's our guest, Charlie Gracie, performing, and again on the Cameo Parkway release. And I guess another big hit for you as a
top 20,
as a young up and coming singer, guitar player.
Well, you know the old James Cagney, top of the world, Ma. Yeah. Top of the world, you know. It was a miracle in my life. You know, I must thank all those folks who were involved with me in the beginning. And you got to remember, when I had these two or three hits in America, I was covered by other artists. Andy Williams did Butterfly, and he sold 1 million copies. Wow. We sold 3 million.
Wow.
It was a big selling record. And I did 99 Ways, which was the other side. Tab Hunter did that. And in Europe, seven or eight different artists covered me. So, you know, everybody sold their amounts to their base, fan base.
And I also read that you bought yourself a Cadillac.
Yes. you ready for this? I never forget. We had to go to Scott Smith Cadillac. It was an authorized dealer when you bought caddies in those days. It was on Broad Street. So I walked in there, and my dream was to own a Cadillac, you know. And I saw this beautiful white Coupe de Ville, and I said to the guy, "How much is that car, fella?" He said, "Just don't put your fingerprints on it, kid."
Thinking you were some guy that wandered in off the street,
imagine what
right?
I looked like when I was 21. I looked like 14. I always had a, you know, baby, diminutive, small, you know.
Yeah.
So he said, "That's $5,300. I said, "Wrap it up. I'm taking it home." He almost died. And that's what that car cost in those days. Today, it's about $60,000 for the same car.
Did it have the big fins?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And you also bought your parents a house.
Well, I really wanted to do that first when my father said, "Whatever your heart's desire is." I said, "Okay, Dad." Well, you know, my parents were good to me. I was in a home full of love. I lived with my grandparents till I was 10, my father's parents. They were immigrants, wonderful people. I mean, we always had food on the table, as poor as we were, and a clean bed to sleep in. Now, I want to make you laugh for a second. We lived in a row home, as thousands of people did.
Well, I should say you lived at 735 Pierce Street
South
Philly.
Right. And most of those homes had no bathrooms or toilets in them and no heat. So we had outhouses, and nobody read the paper in those days. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so we used to have what we call the famous Saturday night baths. You're too young to be, so you're still a young girl, you know. You'd get this galvanized tub, and it put about 2 inches of hot water off the kitchen stove. It was a coal stove. And don't come in this room now. And you'd get in the tub as a kid, you know, with the brown octagon soap. You don't remember that either.
I'm nodding, but I'm all ears.
The old time. And you took your weekly bath, and the rest of the week you sponged yourself. I mean, that was a tough way to grow up, but you know what? It made you strong.
But you know what's so interesting is, as you said, your dad worked at the Stetson Hat Factory,
yes.
And this was hard work.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted you to be a musician. It seems to me, you know, there's no more insecure job than being a musician or an artist, especially in this
country.
You know,
it's a funny thing. You know, I'm a firm believer in the Almighty. And I believe we have a destiny in life to fulfill, and I think I'm fulfilling mine because it came easy for me. My mother used to holler at me, "You didn't study all week. Well, Mr. Panto comes, he's going to give you hell." He comes,
"This
Charlie,
is your music teacher."
Yeah, Charlie, perfect. You went great. I never even picked a guitar maybe once or twice that week. So it's a gift. Music is a gift, and most people that become famous are gifted, you know, and it really came easy for me. I mean, I've been performing all my life. I never had what they call a day gig.
Well, and did you ever have voice lessons? Because
your
voice is so alive, it's so expressive, it has so many colors to it.
Well, no, I never had voice lessons. I just studied guitar lessons. And when I was a kid, I was a little embarrassed to sing, you know, starting out. You remember the gazoo? My father says, "Take that thing out of your mouth and start singing, Charlie." I mean, he really, you know, was instrumental in where I got
That's
in my
great.
Life.
That's great.
Well, he was a great guy.
Let me reintroduce you. And Charlie Gracie, our guest today on Radio Times, grew up in South Philly, has been performing for 61 years, he told me. He actually has a relatively new album out. Abco Records released For the Love of Charlie just a couple of months ago, produced by the legendary producer and musician Al Cooper, featuring Charlie Gracie and some well-known musicians. And he also has this new hit single that we played called Baby Doll. You went to Europe. I mean, you traveled, you performed a lot, and we often think of the British invasion of America, but you were really part of the American invasion of
Britain. Well, what happened was, in late 1957, we got a call from Great Britain. My records were selling all over the world at this time, you see. And they offered me a contract for, I think it was an 8-week or 6-week contract, and I played what they call variety theater in those days. They still had variety theater. It was like a live Ed Sullivan show. It had dog acts, comics, dancers, you know, and then I would come and close the show at the end. But, of course, when I went there, most of the audience was to see Charlie Gracie. I was a phenomenon in that country. And in my audiences, unbeknownst to me, of course, I'm 21 years old at this point. There's the Rolling Stones, there's the Beatles, there's Graham Nash, there's Joe Cocker, and on and on and on, Van Morrison and so forth. Well, I didn't know that, and they were nobody at the time. You know, I was top of the bill. I was making $4,000 or $5,000 a week in those days. That was a lot of money.
Sure was.
But the tax break, the tax structure was they took 63 cents on every dollar I made. So I didn't have much.
You can laugh about it now.
Well, but I had enough money to buy my parents, get them out of the ghetto and bought them a nice home in the suburbs and so forth. But, you know, and then I went back again in 58. My wife and I married and we spent our honeymoon there. And the tours were extended from 6 weeks to 10 weeks. The theaters were packed, just full packed. Wonderful. But I really, what you call, pay your dues for the guys that came after me, and I mean it in this respect. Bill Haley was the first to go ahead and perform. He took his band.
Over in Britain, yeah.
Yeah, he took his band. In Germany and so forth.
Sure.
I went as a solo performer. I was at the mercy of the Pit Orchestra. And these guys knew nothing about rock and roll. So I'm on the stage with the mic that came through the floor. I played the Palladium, the Hippodrome, the same mic that Bing Crosby sang through, Judy Garland. My God, I mean, you know, I was such an awe. I really didn't enjoy the success because I was too young to appreciate what was going on in my life. Now that I look back at it, I say, my God, how lucky.
Yeah.
And the audiences loved me there. And that I didn't go back for 21 years.
Well, let me quote something that actually George Harrison said about you, that what he loved was his, and he's talking about you, his big electric slapback echo that was brilliant. I mean, these guys that were up and coming were in the audience, and they really appreciated what you did.
Evidently, they did, because I never met George Harrison.
Yeah.
He died before I got a chance to meet him. But, I've been with Paul McCartney, and I toured with Van Morrison, and Graham Nash I consider a good friend. He's been on my last two albums. Yeah. Peter Noon. I mean, Dennis Dykin of the Smithereens. Just on and on. I'm so speechless that these people want to perform with me. I just, even at this point, can't believe it.
Well, let me actually play Paul McCartney's version of your hit, Fabulous, and this is actually from a 1999 recording, Run, Devil, Run. Mm-hmm. He performed this at the Cavern Club, a return engagement in Liverpool, and again written by Cal Mann and Bernie Lowe. Let's listen.
Fabulous. Your lips close to mine make me choose up my spine. And when we touch, I thrill so much. If this is love, well, it's fabulous. I'm reading a book about love and its charm. Fabulous.
That's Paul McCartney's version of Charlie Gracie's hit song, Fabulous. As we were listening to that, we were talking, and I frankly asked you, here you are, a young man, you're making money, you're touring all over the world, you've got adoring fans. How did you stay grounded? Because many, you know, many young artists get completely off kilter, you know, when they get that kind of fame early
well,
on.
Well, let me say this, Marty. I come from a very good family. I'm sure millions of people do, too. But I was, our bedrock was family.
Yeah.
You know, love of family, love of God. You know, I've always been a great believer, and God has sustained me throughout my life and my career. And it's not always been a bed of roses. I went through quite a bit of hell in my career, which we haven't even gotten into at this point. But, you know, as you look through the tunnel, you could always see light. And you just keep going towards the light and persevere. Now, you know, after my demise, there's a long story about that, which we won't get into.
Well, you haven't done that yet.
That'll take a week. But anyway, you know, I was always a performer. See, in my particular case, I wasn't just a rocker like some of the guys were. I was a performer. I grew up in the nightclub industry. I mean, I saw people like Louis Prima, you know what I mean? Great movie stars. I worked with some of the best, you know, Jack Teagarden. I worked with great musicians. You know, I played the old Latin Casino, just to mention a couple, hundreds of them, but Nat King Cole. And you sit and you watch and you emulate and you learn. See, unfortunately for these young kids today, there's nobody left to learn from. That form of entertainment is gone. But I think I'm one of the last guys that could still... I'll tell you what happened. I did Lincoln Center a couple of years ago, 5,000 people at night, great open air. Wow, wonderful. As a performer, that's what you want. You want, you know? So I'm there in the afternoon. The guy said, Charlie, could you do me a favor? I said, yeah, anything you want. I always come early. So I got about 1,500 people in the park. They're sitting on these folding chairs. You know, could you do a couple of numbers? I said, give me a mic and an amp. I did an hour and a half for the guy. Comedy. He said, I never saw anything like that in my life. I said, I've been doing this since I've been 10 years old.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He said, well, most entertainers are one-dimensional. I mean, I don't care if the audience is 100 years old or 19 years old. I'll entertain them.
Well, it sounds like you live for the stage.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When I'm off for a week or so, my wife says, go get a gig somewhere. You're driving me crazy. You cut the lawn, it takes 20 minutes. What do we do after that?
Well, I'm glad we've made it through 40 minutes of the show today. Do you practice a lot?
I never practice at home at all.
I know you didn't practice when you were young and taking lessons.
I can't sit and play the guitar in a room by myself. It bores me to death.
Oh, wow.
I need an audience. And I learn on stage. You never stop learning on the guitar. It's infinite.
Yeah.
There was a guy named Paganini years ago who was a great violinist. Well, he mastered the guitar before. Nobody knows that. Before he was, and he said the guitar is, there's no end to the guitar. I mean, I thought I knew every chord that was ever written, and I got a book with 1,400 more. So I was way behind. You know, you learn as I play. I go, hey, that sounds good. Now, what's that called? It's a flatted fifth. You know, I mean, I study, so I know what I'm, you know, or an augmented or a diminished. Yeah. A lot of guys, they know four or five chords, and they made a living doing it, which is fine. But I wanted to be get as perfect as I could. I'm not perfect, and I'm not the greatest. I mean, there's guys that could play me under the table. But give me a light, give me a microphone, give me an audience. Most of the time, I think they go home happy.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking with Charlie Gracie today on Radio Times. He's had a long career as a guitarist, a singer, performer, entertainer, as he says. He'll be turning 76 in May, and he has a new album called For the Love of Charlie. He's got a new hit song called Baby Doll. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, play some more music. Open up the lines at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Lincoln, introducing the new 2013 Lincoln MKS with continuously controlled damping, or CCD. More at Lincoln.com. Lincoln, now it gets interesting.
The Philadelphia Speakers Series, presented by Widener University, returns to the Kimmel Center for the 2012-13 season. Seven engaging and thought-provoking evenings with some of the world's most interesting people, sharing their fascinating behind-the-headlines stories, and including a special guest speaker you won't want to miss. More information on the complete lineup of speakers is available at PhiladelphiaSpeakersSeries.org. Sponsored by WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. The anchorwoman who walked off the set of state TV in Egypt in support of the Arab Spring comes to our studio. She's still fighting censorship under Egypt's military government. Also, the ethanol industry. More corn now going to ethanol than to livestock or people. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
First Trust Bank supports WHYY, and First Trust supports Philadelphia's business community. Whether you need a loan, a line of credit, real estate financing, or cash management services, First Trust is here, ready to help. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking with Charlie Gracie, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Charlie, I do want to play a Guitar Boogie, which is live at the Stockholm Globe. This goes back again to 1957. Yeah. Before we this really shows off your guitar playing.
Well, let me say this before you play it.
Go ahead.
That particular night, I didn't know this man was recording. He had an old wall and sack machine, you know, reel to reel in those days.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And after the show, he gave it to me as a momentum to take home. But I had broken string. That happens sometimes, you know. And I couldn't get into, like, the really lead. So I'm playing mostly rhythm in it, so I want people to understand that.
Because you're literally playing with a broken string?
Yeah, I couldn't get that in high strings.
Oh my God.
Usually it goes out of tune when that happens, too.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, you got 3,000 people out there. You're all alone on the stage like a big dope. What do you do?
With five strings instead of six.
That's it.
Hey, well, let's listen. Now we're all ears. Guitar Boogie, performed by our guest, Charlie Gracie. That's our guest, Charlie Gracie, playing Guitar Boogie with just five strings, not six. Not bad.
Well, you know, show must go on, man.
Exactly.
We didn't have two or three guitars to change in those days, you know.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I had to bring my own amplifier to Britain. They didn't have amplifiers there.
Do you ever get nervous before playing?
I never was nervous in my life except one night when I did the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, wow.
I was fine until the guy says, 5 minutes, Mr. Gracie. I said, okay, I'm ready. He says, tonight, 65 million people are going to see you sing and play, kid. When he said that guy, all the saliva dried up in my mouth. I said, how am I going to sing? My tongue was cleaving to the roof. I figured, and it was live. I mean, not like today, live. You made a mistake. I went out. It was perfect. Oh, my God.
Now, what year was that, or how old were you?
I was 21 years old. Was 19, okay. I think it was March or April of 57, I was on with Will Chamberlain, the great Philadelphia basketball player.
Wow, absolutely.
Wonderful guy. Don Amici, Henry Fonda, Ben Blue, and Senior Wences. All right, it's all right. Now, let me tell you, this is a funny story.
Okay, then we're going to get Gary from New York on.
But yeah, home, right? The next day, my grandmom's still alive. God bless her. She saw me in a show, you know? You know what she said to me the first thing?
What's that?
Don't get a big head. How do you like that for wisdom? A woman that never went to school, worked all her life. Don't get a big head. I'll never forget that till the day they bury me.
Yeah, and words to live by.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, let's get Gary from New York to join us on Radio Times. And Gary, you should tell us who you are.
Well, I work with Charlie Gracie. This is the only way I could get him on the phone because he wasn't returning my phone calls yesterday. And I wanted to tell him that his record, Baby Doll, is the number four CD single in New York City this week.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's really why, that's my antidote, the fact that I can't, when there's good news, I couldn't get Charlie on the phone.
So you had to call him up on a radio show.
So I had to call him on the radio, and they told me not to say how incredible I think you are, none of those, that couldn't be part of my antidote.
You're saying that because you love me, that's all.
That's right, totally.
And I had just mentioned your name a few minutes ago on the show, that how inspirational you were with Baby Doll, writing it and producing it along with Rogers, John Rogers.
Yeah.
You guys are too
well,
much.
I think the record would be nothing without Charlie Gracie on that track.
Well,
it's a marriage,
Gary.
Gary, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Thanks so much.
And love listening to the show.
Thank you so
Bye.
Much.
You have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you too.
Bye,
as well.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. And I should say to our listeners that you said to me during the break, well, what does it mean to be number 4 CD single? You know, you don't know what that means?
I'll let you know in about 6 months if a check comes in.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go out to lunch or something.
Well, you had mentioned some tough times, and I know with Cameo Records, helped to start your career. You also helped to bring them some fame and fortune as well, but you really had a tough falling out
with them. The man came to my house looking for, I tell you, the Elvis-looking guy. He had $2,000 bankroll to start a company. So we went into the studio almost like partners. We had a couple of big hits right off the go. Then we had a little disagreement about payment.
Is that an understatement?
Well, yeah, just go over it lightly. I mean, if we're friends, you and I are friends, Marty, you know what I mean? I can't talk to you. I have to talk to your lawyer. That means something's not awry, you know? So I figured, well, if that's the way it's going to be, I settled for a certain amount of money, left the company, and I went with a big company called Decca.
Oh.
I'll never forget that as long as I live. Buddy Holly had just passed on, and the fellow who was doing the A&R said, Charlie, you came in this company at the right time. We're going to have a lot of hits. I couldn't get my records played anymore after that. I went with Decca. I went with Roulette. I went with 7 or 8 different companies, and I guess I was called a whistleblower. In my time.
Yeah. You were blacklisted?
Oh, absolutely.
You certainly felt that
way? Oh, absolutely. There was no question about it.
Right.
But you know what? I always had the talent to go out and work, and I always worked. I used to do 5 sets a night, 6 nights a week, like sawing wood, alone with no band, me and the guitar.
Right.
But I had a wife and I had 2 kids, and I got to support them. They're my kid and my family. And I did it, and I persevered. And then things started getting a little better. I started building my own rep again. People always respected me for my hits and so forth. But I went out and I performed. I didn't depend on my hits to perform. I run the gamut from like 1900 to 2012. I play whatever is popular at the time, or go back into musical history. And I survived. Then I worked the Shore areas. I worked a spot called the Moore's Inlet in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Oh, interesting.
25 consecutive summers. Packed the joint in the afternoon.
Wow.
Outdoor. Wonderful. Oh, it was great, that's not there anymore. I mean, I was the last act to headline the Hippodrome Theater. Adolf Hitler couldn't shut it during the Blitz.
But you did?
I was the last act to headline that theater. I have a plaque home.
Now, you said that you don't rehearse or you don't practice. Yeah. And now when a lot of your playing can be solo, but you also play with bands.
Well, I have my own little band.
Do you rehearse with them, or do they just kind of follow you?
No, I tell them, B-flat, fellas, use your ear. Louis Prima always, I always love Louis Prima. Yeah. He used to tell the fellas, play yourselves. When you have a small unit like that, you don't need arrangements, unless you're going to have a recording. You want it to be precise. But play yourself, and he comes up with a good idea. George will come up with a good idea. Bobby will come up, and then you incorporate it 2, 3, 4 times. Yeah, I love jazz too. I can play anything you want, but you can't make any money playing jazz. That's the only problem. You got to be a commercial,
So what do you think it was about South Philly? I'm thinking of all these singers, all these artists that came out of South Phily kind of around your time period.
Even before my time.
Yeah.
The generation before me, you had Mario Lanza.
That's right.
You had Buddy Greco, Al Martino, Four Aces. A lot of those fellows came from South Philly. Who did I leave out there? Just so many of them, And then my generation, myself, I went to school with James Ercolani, James Darren.
Oh, Ercolani?
Yeah, Ercolani. I know Jimmy Ercolani.
That's so funny.
And my wife went to school with Frankie Avalon in the same classes,
Yeah.
And one of my kid brothers went to school with Chubby Checker. I mean, we're from the same neighborhood, from the same ghetto. And we got lucky. We, tried to help our families out of the poverty we were in. And we represented South Philadelphia very well, with dignity.
But it's so interesting to think, you know, when you first got started, you go into a studio, and now you can perform at home, and someone takes the track, and they mix it, and they bring it back.
Well, it's amazing. I saw the board you have in the other room in there.
Yes.
If I ever touched that thing, it would take a genius to get it back together again. I mean, the electronics have progressed to the point. I mean, my guy, when I started playing, they didn't have amplifiers. You know what I mean? I finally bought a little amp with I think it had a 10-inch speaker. And they'd call my manager, Bernie Rothbard, and say, tell that kid he's too loud.
Oh, wow.
I was too loud, right? Today they got amplifiers as big as a wall. Electronics would make it sound tremendous. Foot pedal, deep, boom, boom, holy smokes, you know. I tried to buy a new amp about 6 months ago. It had so many knobs on it. I said to the guy, take it back. I'm not an engineer. I'm a musician. I just want it on and off and reverb. That's it. You know? Oh, it drives me crazy.
How's your hearing?
My hearing is perfect.
Is it really?
I can hear a pin drop at 100 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's an occupational hazard
for rock and rollers
like yourself.
No.
So do you think of yourself as rock and roll, rockabilly? Do you make that distinction?
Well,
I think of myself as
a diverse musician. I can play any type of music. Of course, I can't sing opera. Right. I'm not going to say I can do that. But, I mean, you get up and sing a song, and I hear it, I'll play it. I might hit a wrong chord here or there until I get it down. But it's all in the ear.
Yeah.
I mean, I know guys who can sight read tremendous, but they have no innovation when they play.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift, you know what I mean? It's like you're doing the show here. Everybody can't do that, or we'd all be behind a microphone. You have a gift, I have a gift. So the great carpenter has a gift, the guy who paints has a gift. I mean, we're all gifted in different ways, you know.
Do you think your dad thought you had a gift? I keep going back to your dad because it's so... Mm-hmm. It's so moving to hear a father that was so supportive of a son like that.
Well, they love music in my house. I'll tell you one quick story. Sure. My grandfather, who was an immigrant, I was named after him, Charles. My name is Calogero.
Oh,
you ever see the Bronx Tale?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the kid's name was C. His name was Calogero.
Oh.
That's a real Sicilian name. It means Charles, of course. And when I was born, I was told, my grandfather looked down at the bassinet and said, I see a star over this kid. Isn't this weird? Make you want to cry.
Sure.
I see a star over this kid. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
I love my grandparents very much. Yeah.
So everyone growing up in this house in South Philly lots of smells and sounds.
Full of music and gravy. Red sauce.
Lots of gravy. Are you a good cook by any chance?
No, I can't cook. I can't do anything except sing and play the guitar. My wife's an excellent cook.
So you have no other hobbies? It's really your
hobby? I played golf for a number of years. I couldn't break 13 handicap. I quit.
So tell me how this, for the love of Charlie, how this CD got put together.
Well, I cut it in the studio in Lanark, Pennsylvania with a fellow named Quentin Jones, who I cut another album with before this. Okay. And by the way, Graham Nash was on that album, too. Graham Nash is a wonderful, great talent and a great benevolent man. We cut it there. And what happened was this fellow, Al Cooper, who I had never met, they asked him if he would like to contribute on the album. So I said, I'm a great Charlie Gracie fan. I never met Al before. Then he says, you know what? Give me the whole thing. I'm going to take the whole thing over.
Oh, wow.
He took the whole thing over and reproduced it along with... Amazing. Just amazing. And then with Graham Nash on it, Peter Noon on it. I'm speechless. I can't believe all these people want to be affiliated with me. It's such an honor. And I'm so blessed. I mean, what can I tell you?
Yeah. So do you think you'll be playing music for...
Well, I want to be playing music as long as God gives me the strength to do it.
Yeah.
And before they shut the lid, I'm going to say, can I do one more number, please? You know, it's a funny thing we're talking about success and failure.
Yeah.
I've had all of it in my life, you know. And I got famous for 10 or 15 minutes, but the thing that I'm more blessed about was I continue doing something that I love to do. I love to perform. I don't care if it's two people in a room or 60 million people on television or a 3,000-seat audience. I mean, I'll be in Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks. I just did New York. I'll be in London in September. I look forward. If you love what you do, you look forward. It's like, how can I equivocate it? It's like, you know, you're on a date. You meet your girlfriend. You meet your boyfriend. You can't wait for the next date. You can't wait for the next date.
It's wonderful. It's 75, 76.
Oh, no.
That.
I mean, if I didn't have that feeling in my heart, I would have gave it up. I mean, I just love to perform. I think it brings joy to people.
Well, we're going to close things out with a song that actually you wrote called Rock and Roll Heaven.
It's written for my contemporaries who are no longer with us.
Oh, interesting. Is that the inspiration for
Yeah,
for
I mean,
this?
Eddie, one of the fellows, Summertime Blues, Eddie Cochran was one of my closest friends.
Oh, wow.
He was at my home in South Philly. Remember, I used to make him the Red Sauce and all, you know.
Oh, wow.
And the other guys, Buddy Holly and, of course, Elvis and Carl Perkins. I mean, they're not here anymore. So I just sat one day, and I'm not much of a songwriter because I'm bored sitting in a room by myself. But once in a while, I come up with an idea, and everybody seems to like it. And once again, it pays tribute to these wonderful artists that are no longer with us.
Well, Charlie Gracie, it's been so much fun. Such a pleasure to have you with us on Radio Times. As I said, Patty McMahon had seen you perform and came running back in the next day and said, we got to get this guy on Radio Times.
Well, if anybody wants to know where I'm performing, tell them to check my website, charliegracie.com. My son, Charles Jr., does a great job on it. He's a school teacher. He's very bright. First college graduate in the family with a master's degree. I had to go to work. I won a scholarship for college when I was a kid as an athlete, but I couldn't afford to go.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, Charlie Gracie, it's been such a pleasure, and I thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. And Fred Snyder, the engineer for today's edition of the show, is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder. I'm Marty Moscowen, and you can go to our website at whyy.org/Radio Times. And we do want to close things out with Rock and Roll Heaven, again, written by our guest, Charlie Gracie, and it's from this CD, For the Love of Charlie, recently released by Abco Records, and Graham Nash, lo and behold, doing some of the supporting vocals. So let's listen to
Thanks, Marty.
You're very welcome. Rock and Roll Heaven.